Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, what a wonderful looking group out there this morning. But shall we turn to Exodus 12, and we'll read from 7 to 28. From Exodus 12. Then they are able to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night there are to eat the meal roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head and legs and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread alone without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. So whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except prepare food for everyone to eat. This is all you may do. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day till evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses, and anyone, whether foreigner or native born, who eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out to the door of your house until morning, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians. He will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Tell them it was the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Amen.
Take out your Bible, please. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. It's also in your bulletin for your convenience. Friday was my birthday, November the 22nd, and this was my birthday present, a puzzle, and they ripped the price off, probably on sale. My wife's not in here, so I can say whatever I want. And the significance of it is the puzzle that it is. It's the Gettysburg Times, and it's November 22nd, 1963. And that's the front page of the Gettysburg Times from the day President Kennedy was shot. And this was obviously an afternoon paper because the headline is Kennedy and Governor Connally were shot from ambush in Dallas today. And then the subheading is, not known if either has been killed. Anyways, that was my Christmas present, birthday present. And so every year I remember my birthday and I say to people, hey, I was born on President Kennedy's, that was my first birthday, on the day that President Kennedy was shot. So I do not know where I was and I do not remember it because I was only one. And it's interesting that it's the Gettysburg Times because that was the 100th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address that was given in November of 1863, and so we're also celebrating the 150th anniversary of President Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It's interesting how you have to keep bringing these things up and remembering them, otherwise you begin to forget them. And so you have these reminders, and in fact, we even have a day which we call Remembrance Day, November the 11th at 11 o'clock, 11-11-11, so that we can remember those who have fallen in giving their lives for our freedom and for our country. And you just set these days aside, and year after year, you remember these things, because if you don't set it aside, and if you don't practice the memory of it, you forget. And Exodus chapter 12 is one of those key events. And in fact, it has been celebrated from the year 1445 BC until today. So for 3,500 years, people have been celebrating the Passover. 3,500 years. Wow. That's really something. And of course, Jews still celebrate that day today. It is one of their main holy days and vacation days. When I was in high school in London, I used to think, man, I wish I was a Jew because they get extra holidays. It happened to be a large Jewish population in London, and especially the high school I went to had a large number of Jewish children, and so there were quite a few days of the year you would go, hey, where's so-and-so? Oh, he's a Jew. He has a holiday today. But it's important to set these days aside and remember them. And God himself says, here's what I want you to do. And it's interesting that he does it from day one. So the very first Passover, before it even takes place, he tells them, here's what I want you to do. And I want you to do it this way, this first time, and then do it every year, every single year, so that you can remember what I did. And then your children are going to say to you, Dad, why are we having lamb? Why can't we have hamburger and cheeseburger today? And he will say, well, that's because God told us it's got to be a lamb or a goat. And it has to be roasted over a fire. Because God delivered us when he saw the blood. He passed over and he spared our homes. Remembrances. Last week we looked at the Passover. We looked at the brief outline, verses 1 through 13 are the instructions for the Passover, and 14 through 20 are the instructions for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We looked at the selecting and slaying the lamb, and verses 8 through 13, supping on the lamb. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, how come I've never heard about a goat? And I said, well, you could have goat or lamb. It's just often we talk about lamb. I heard, I gave this message on Tuesday at Vision Nursing Home, and one of the seniors in the home said to me, yuck, I'm glad I'm not a Jew. I don't like lamb. And I said, well, for you, we could have goat for you. I said, do you like goat? And she said, I don't know. We looked at verses 3 through 4, the supply of the lamb. There were enough lambs for every home. Everyone needed to have a lamb. And I suggested to you that it was 10 to 14 people. That was what the rabbis would say it would take to consume the entire lamb. If you had less than 10, you had to find somebody to join your family. So there was 10 to 14 in every home. The standard of the lamb had to be perfect and without blemish. The slaying of the lamb, it had to be slain by slitting the throat. It could not be roadkill. It could not be dying from some other disease. And it had to be slain between the evenings. And I suggested that was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the blood had to be sprinkled on the sides of the doors. And this is significant because Jesus Christ himself was slain on this very day on the cross. When all the rest of the Israelites and all the rest of the Jews were killing their Passover lamb beginning at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, exactly at that time, Jesus Christ was breathing his last on the cross, and he died while they were killing the Passover lamb. We talked about all that last week. So this week, we did speak briefly about supping on the lamb, and I just want to draw this to your attention specifically today. If you look with me at verse 8, that same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. And so you had three parts of the meal. There was meat, roasted, bitter herbs, and up there I call it matzah. Matzah bread, and matzah is unleavened bread. If you heard of matzah ball soup, last time I was in New York City, there was somebody sitting beside me in the restaurant, and I looked over, they had this bowl of soup, and in the middle of the soup, there's just this one big white ball, about the size of, almost the size of a tennis ball, and that was the matzah ball. And it's just a piece of dough without yeast that's cooked, thrown into the soup, and matzo ball soup. And I've never had it, but I've seen it. Notice it's bitter herbs. Why bitter herbs? So that they can remember bitter times. It was because of the affliction and the suffering that they were going through in Egypt. And it's important to remember that. It's not always been good. We've come out of difficulty. And we'll say more about that in a second. There was also bread without leaven, the matzah bread. And why was there no leaven? And the text doesn't really tell you exactly why there's no leaven, but as you read through it, you see, well, the first reason is because it had to be done in haste. You didn't have time for the bread to be leavened. You were eating on the run. Later in the chapter, you will see, if you will look with me at verse 33, it's not on your bulletin. As they flee from Egypt and the Egyptians kick them out of Egypt, verse 33, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold for clothing. Look with me at verse 39. With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. And so to this day, they eat matzah bread, and they're to remember, we had to run, and we had to hurry, and we did not have time for the bread to rise. Also, the use of matzah bread is to remember hard times. There's a reason why we eat bread with yeast. It tastes better. Okay, the meal. Secondly, cooking instructions. We briefly talked about that last time. You could not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, no boiled lamb. It had to be roasted over the fire. Samaritans to this day continue to roast it black. And when it's black, that's when it's done. The idea of cooking it, roasting it black, is that it's distasteful. Verse 10. What about the leftovers? Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. So you must consume the entire animal, and nothing could be left at the morning. And that's why it's always good to have someone in your home that eats everything. Now, last time I told you my wife eats the neck, and John Hotman told me he loves the neck. He says it's the best part of the bird. You've got to have somebody like that in your house who's going to eat the neck and the heart and the kidneys and all of those other little things. You got to eat everything, and then you got to burn it all. Nothing can be left. This is a sacred thing. That's 10, that's the leftovers. Verse 11, this is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. So you've got to be ready to go. Verses 12 through 13, theological significance. What is so important about this? Verse 12, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt, strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. As we went through the plagues, we noticed how they were at the various gods. And here you see a verse saying that, I am bringing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. And so the Passover night is about judgment. It's about judgment. Verse 13. The Passover night's also about salvation, deliverance. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And as God passed over Egypt, as he saw the blood, no one died in that home. Last time I gave you a number of things that people might have been thinking. They might have been thinking, listen, I'm a Jew. I'm a child of Israel. I don't need to put blood on my door. God's not going to kill our firstborn. And you'd be mistaken. Your firstborn would die because it is not your lineage that saves you. It's the blood on the door that saves you. Or you might say, listen, I've put blood on the door, so I can now go outside the house. Right? The blood's on the door. I'm going to go for a walk tonight. Surely I'll be safe. I've put the blood on the door. But you notice you're only safe in the house. The instructions from God is you don't go outside of the house that night. You eat everything in the house, and you don't leave it. And if you're to go outside of the house, you're no longer safe because you're no longer under the blood. If I could apply it to us today, It would be like saying, you know, something. I'm a pretty good person. God's not going to do anything to me, so I don't really have to make things right with Jesus Christ. And you'd be wrong. Or you might say, you know, something. I made a decision for Christ in the past. You know something, it's no longer important for me to believe or anything like that because it's something I've already taken care of. I can just let it go. It's important to be in Christ. And it's not something to be fooled around with or played with. It's to be taken seriously. Notice that they had bitter herbs and all of these things suggest bitterness. The fact that the lamb is roasted and it's roasted over the fire could be a little tough, could be a little black. The fact that your bread has no yeast, that's a little rough too. It's not the best thing. And so what's the symbolism of this? The bitterness is the suffering and the affliction in Egypt. And the entire supper recalls this time of suffering. And if I could apply this to us today, it's the same thing that's true for us. Christians will have suffering. First of all, there's the bitterness of what Jesus delivers us from, the bitterness of your sin and my sin. And as you get a little older, it starts to taste a little more bitter because there's more of it. And the effects seem to be compounding as you get a little older. Lack of love for others, selfishness, lost opportunities to tell others about Christ, lost opportunities to do good. Those things add up, and they add up. And by the time you're my age, 51, you can't make up for it. It begins to, it's bitter. And thank God we have a Savior who delivers us from the bitterness of our sins. Delivers us from the bitterness of our sins. Or the way the New Testament talks about it, he delivers us from our guilt. Takes it away. So that we're forgiven. And God does not condemn us and he does not hold anything against us. That's wonderful. It's important to be reminded of that. Christians will have suffering, and we have this bitterness of sin, and we've been delivered from that. Secondly, there's a bitterness of what it takes to deliver us. There's the bitterness of what it takes to deliver us, and we celebrate that often. That's the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is bitter that the most wonderful person who has ever lived had to die because of me. That's bitter. It's terrible that my God had to come into this world and take my pain and my suffering and my sin. There's something bitter about that. It's not attractive. It should bring sorrow to you that Jesus Christ has to suffer for us. That's terrible. Now, it's wonderful what happens to us. It's great because it magnifies him. There should be something unsettling about it, though. Thirdly, by the way, that's the bitterness of a sacrifice, right? The fact that I have to take a lamb and slit its throat and catch the blood. A lot of ugliness in that. A lot of ugliness. Thirdly, there's the bitterness of suffering. And by the way, Jesus Christ has called you to suffer. Let me just read a couple of those passages. I like Philippians chapter 1. It says this: "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." I love that. It has been granted to you. It's a gift from God that you get to believe and you get to suffer. Stop giving me gifts. We will suffer. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, we also rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Suffering produces endurance. If you never tested and you never suffer, you don't know if you can make it. You don't know. Is my faith real? You might be here today and you don't know if your faith is real. You know what will convince you? Suffering. Let's give you some hard times. Then we'll see if you believe. And until you're tested, you don't know. And so he brings suffering into our life so that we'll find out, do I really believe in God, or am I just a fair-weather Christian? It's nice to believe when all my family believes, but when I'm the only one in my family, am I really going to make it? Go back with me to Exodus chapter 12. So not only is there the Passover, the meal, the slaying of the lamb, the eating of the lamb, the bitter herbs, and the matzah, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread goes for 7 days. For 7 days. And each of the verses has these things. First of all, he says this is to be for generations. It's a lasting ordinance. So God says, I want this done every year. And it's never going to stop. And so by the time we get to the New Testament times, we see Jesus going to Jerusalem every year at Passover time because he keeps the Passover in Jerusalem. And so his family did that for every year of his life. They would go to Passover in Jerusalem, and you see it in the Gospels. The Gospel of John points out that he goes to each Passover. Secondly, it's 7 days long. Passover is 1 day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days. Just a reminder that it's not a one-time event. This is something that's got to go on and on and on. Thirdly, I've got up there, on the first day you have to remove all the yeast. By the way, it coincides with spring cleaning. And so on day one, you would take all the yeast out of your house. All bread that had yeast had to be gone. Beer had to be removed from the house. Beer has yeast in it. You were supposed to clean your kitchen just in case there was some yeast that fell on the floor. Had to wash the floors and wash the counters and wash the pots just to make sure there was no yeast in the house. It had to be gone. The significance is if you ate yeast, it meant you had to be cut off. No longer considered to be a Jewish person. Did no work on the first and the seventh day. The feast celebrates God's activities. If you notice with me, verse 17, celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. You're supposed to do this wherever you live. And finally, the entire community. Everyone had to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Just like we need reminders, and I've got reminder from my first birthday. The children of Israel had a reminder of coming out of Egypt. So God has left us with reminders. For us, our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. He's delivered us from our sin. And he has instituted a reminder, a feast, which we celebrate once a month. You're supposed to do it often, where you take broken bread to remember the broken body of the Lord Jesus. And you take the cup to remember the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as often as you eat that and as often as you drink it, you remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in delivering us. And we need that remembrance. This is what our faith is in, and this is what our faith is about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, let me read it and then point just a few things out. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay, notice, our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. So that as a people, we are a new unleavened batch. This new unleavened batch of bread. So what should we be doing? According to this passage, he's writing this because there's leaven getting into the batch. Leaven getting into the batch. There's a man who is sleeping with his father's wife. Sleeping with his father's wife. And the church knows about it. And everyone in the church is happy about it. They're saying, look how good we are. We're so tolerant. Isn't that good? It's so good to be tolerant. Now, listen, it is good to be tolerant because the New Testament church is built on tolerance. It is built on tolerance. That's how Jews and Gentiles get along in one church. That was important. It was important for two diverse ethnic groups to be tolerant of each other so that they could exist in one church. But there's a limit to that tolerance. And the limit to the tolerance is when there's sinfulness in someone's life and you're rejoicing in it. That's terrible. To rejoice in sinfulness is to ruin the whole batch of bread. You're putting yeast in the whole batch. He says, listen, Christ is our Passover lamb. We need to be an unleavened batch of bread. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch. Listen, it's exciting what Jesus Christ has done for us. Children of Israel, it was exciting for them. In bondage in Egypt, and God delivered them. And the ultimate deliverance came when he slew the firstborn of Egypt. But children of Israel were protected by the lamb. And so God passed over their homes and spared them. So we should be excited today. God has delivered us from our past, from our sinfulness, from this world. And he did it with a lamb. And the blood of that lamb has to be on the doors of your heart. And then when he sees the blood of Jesus Christ on the doors of your heart, he will pass over you. And we need to remember that. Next time we have communion, we got something to celebrate. It is a celebration. It is a feast to remember what God has done for us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I pray for us today, each one of us, because today is the day to be right with Jesus Christ and to have his blood covering us. Today is that day. And we know that it's so important that we need to be ready, and we need to be ready today. So I pray for each one of us that that will be true, that as we examine our lives, we will know that we have this faith. Father, if we don't know that, I pray that you will speak to us and show it out to us that we need to know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord. Father, I do pray that you will help us this week to be this one unleavened batch. created by Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.